Thank you. Thank you very much. And let us bow before the Lord and pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us as he descended on the apostles and the 120 members who had gathered together on the day of Pentecost. And as Jesus has told us, may the Spirit lead us into the whole truth. Many things which we do not understand or follow in the teachings of Jesus, may the Spirit himself give us the light, enlighten our minds and our hearts. And let us thank and praise him for the wonderful teaching he has given us, for his words of comfort and consolation, for his words of encouragement to each one of us, especially when we fail in one way or the other. A word of comfort to those who go astray, those who have fallen away. Let us therefore thank and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we praise and thank you this evening. Thank you for bringing us all together. We ask you to enlighten our minds and our hearts today. Lord, grant us the light of your Spirit, that we may listen to you and understand the word that you have spoken to us through the Gospels. We make this prayer in your holy and mighty name. Amen. So good evening, brothers and sisters. Have not seen you. You are muted, I know. So I can't hear you, but I can see you. So thank you for being here. And it's a good time to be together. Hope you're not too hungry. Still there is time to have dinner, right? So we shall have the Lord's Supper first before we go for our physical hunger. We shall satisfy our spiritual hunger as well. One of the questions that is repeatedly asked these days through the WhatsApp messages to us is, Father, when are we going to open the church? I must confess, I don't have an answer. I don't have an affirmative answer. But one day we will. That is for sure. That's my hope. And we pray that it will be soon and not too late. It has been a long time. I have not seen you physically, at least definitely not personally in the church compound here when I was transferred and when I left the parish. But now I'm also happy to see most of your faces, at least through this technological advancement and facility we have. So thank God and praise the Lord. The passage we have for our reflection tonight is Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. Matthew chapter 18, 15 to 20. Those of you who have the Bible with you, or you have the text on your mobile phone or laptops or computers, you may refer to that. The Lord is teaching the disciples with regard to our relationships in the community. And he says, if another member of the church sins against you, if a member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained your brother or sister. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let that member be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is the reading we have for our reflection today. It is a very powerful passage, and as it is only in the Gospel of Matthew, though some parts of this particular reading are also seen in other books of the New Testament. In Luke 17, we have Luke 17, 1 to 4. Then we have the letter of James, chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. Then there is some idea in the 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, 1 to 6, and Galatians 6, 1. These are some of the passages where we have similar ideas expressed. I would like to take for our reflection the reading from the Gospel of Matthew. And we know what Jesus is telling us here. We know in our lives so many things happen. We meet so many people, so many events take place in our personal life, in our family, in our community, in our country. And when someone does something wrong, our immediate human reaction is to teach him a lesson. This is what we want to do. First thing we think of is, he did this to me, or she did this to me. He said like this to me. He told me this. So I will teach you a lesson. Sabak sikhayenge sabko. You know, we want to teach a lesson always. The idea of revenge, action, retaliation is just like that. It comes up. But what the Lord is telling us, don't be too quick in judging the person and condemning the person. We know when things go wrong between the countries, for example, we have some examples in our own country here, we know. When things were going wrong with our neighbors, you know, some people were shouting that we should go and fight, you know, attack. And the desire to retaliate, the desire to take revenge is very strong normally in us. And that is precisely what the Lord is telling us not to do. So what are we to do? If a person does something wrong, if a person is saying something offensive or doing something that is not right or hurting you or hurting me unnecessarily without any cause or reason, how am I going to deal with it? Jesus says, if a member of the church, that is member of the community that we belong to, if the member is sinning against you, Jesus is telling us in simple terms how to bring your brother back, bring your sister back, how to go about. This is the first point. Jesus is telling us, at least make three attempts. In these three attempts, there is the order. First, you personally go and talk to the person concerned. If someone has done something to you, you talk to the person. Now here, when we go to talk to the person, when you go to talk to the person, how should we talk to the person? Jesus is not telling us, go and accuse the person. Go and shout at the person. Kya kiya tumne? Kyon kiya? Maine tumne kya kiya tha? What did I do to you? Why did you do this to me? Not in that sense. But rather talk to the person in a very gentle way, polite way. So St. Paul would say in Galatians, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, those of us who have received the Spirit, when a person has done something wrong, he says, do it in a spirit of gentleness. So when Jesus is telling us, you go to the person and talk to the person first, you have to talk to the person in a way that you can win the person back. That means your intention has to be very, very clear. Your intention is not to condemn the person, but to correct the person. Not to make the person feel guilty, but make the person understand that something he or she has done is not the right thing to do. Or you can politely say, see, you have said this or you have done this to me. Why did you do it? It hurt me somehow. And so talk to the person so that the person can understand that you are hurt by what the person has done. So if the person has offended you, sinned against you, then you reconcile with the person. The idea is, therefore, Jesus is telling us, is to reconcile. Now, Jesus says, if the person listens to you, matter is over. The person says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. I was tensed, or I was overburdened with some other things in my life. I spoke angrily like this to you because I was upset with something else. And if the person makes up for what he has said or done, okay, fine. The matter is over between the two of you. You are reconciled. That's the end of it. But then Jesus says, Jesus is very practical. Many times things don't happen so quickly, so easily. Because the person who offended you probably sometimes may be a bit arrogant also, or a bit proud also. Or as it happens nowadays, especially among the youngsters, they cannot say one word that is very important, sorry. The word sorry is very expensive nowadays. It is hardly used. People are afraid to use it, or people do not want to use it because they think you saying sorry is a sign of weakness. And therefore, we don't hear it often. Even the children, little children, sometimes I have seen in some families, when the parents are telling the little child who has done something wrong, Baba, say sorry. No, they can't say. So we know many times people will not say sorry. People will not apologize. And therefore, Jesus probably knew it. So he says, give a second chance now. And how is the second chance? Jesus is very clear, very practical. He says, take one or two of you, people of, goodwill, having some reputation. Don't take gundas with you. Don't take somebody with a gun, Z level security. You don't need to take such people. You take somebody who can reconcile, not somebody who can, shoot at sight. So therefore, you have to be very careful whom you take along with you. Because your idea is, again, to win the person back, not to condemn the person who has offended you. And if you want to win the person, then you have to take people of peace, people who can make peace. And so Jesus is telling us, take one or two people with you. Now this is because in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, there is this command given. Any witness is valid if there are two or three people. Single witness is not valid. So Jesus is taking that Old Testament understanding and he's telling us, take one or two people along with you so that you can win your brother or sister back to the community. But even in this case, even if the two, three of you are sitting together and talking to the person, and the person listens to you, okay, matter is over. If the person does not listen to you, as the case may be, then Jesus is giving us the third option. And the third option is now the option with the authorities. So far, it is between the members of the community, either you alone or with the members of the community. But if the two things fail, then Jesus is telling us, take the third option, that is, inform the authorities. Now, generally, people are supposed to listen to the authorities. Now, why is Jesus telling us all these things? First of all, Jesus is telling us, when there is something going wrong, don't escalate the matter. Keep it cool. Be cool yourself, as we say, be cool. And keep the matter low. Don't, you know, add fuel to the fire. Often what happens, we try to tend to add fuel to fire. But Jesus is telling us in giving us these steps in this order. Don't escalate the matter. Often what happens is this. Instead of trying to convince the person, trying to talk to the person, one of the worst things that happens is among us quite often the gossip. If somebody has done something wrong, instead of telling the person concerned, we tell everybody else except the person. So everybody else knows what has happened, but the person is totally unaware. And this is the danger. And this will create more problem, because this goes against the very idea of reconciliation. If someone has done something wrong, suppose, for example, now, if I have done something wrong, what is the use of telling the whole community about it? The community has not done anything wrong. The person who has done something wrong is myself. So if you want to correct the person, there is no point in telling the whole community. You come and tell me. And if I correct myself, the matter is done, over. But by telling others, I am not going to benefit in any way. Instead, it is only going to make it worse for me to say sorry afterwards. Because I will be ashamed and I will be more angry. So therefore, when Jesus is telling us, first you go and do, second you take some two or three people, and only third attempt you tell the authorities. Even here, Jesus is not telling us, now tell everybody. Tell the whole world. Put it on WhatsApp and say, you know, this is what happened. Put it in all the groups. No. You tell the authorities, and again, it is in a private setup that the reconciliation process should take place. Not publicize it, not make it, you know, a big issue. Because many times, as we know, the issue may be small. It may not be really a serious point at all. Often when we talk to the people, we understand that our kind of misunderstandings are normally small. We think it is too big, and then we exaggerate. So therefore, Jesus is telling us, in giving us these three steps, don't escalate, don't exaggerate, don't go around telling everybody else what the person has done. That will only be worse for him and worse for the community to win the person back and have reconciliation in the community. So this is therefore the very clear process that Jesus is asking us to do. So therefore, we have to understand, if the person is arrogant or stubborn, when you talk to him, or when the two or three members talk to him, then third step, you tell the church, tell the authorities. Now, if he listens to the authorities, well and good. If he does not listen to the authorities, then Jesus says, Okay, give up. Give up in the sense, what is Jesus really doing? Jesus is not telling us to punish the person in any way. When Jesus is telling us, treat him like a Gentile or a tax collector. That is, simply, in a way, ignore the person. Isolate. Keep him, disassociate yourself from that person. Okay, that person doesn't listen to you, doesn't listen to anybody else, doesn't listen to the elders, doesn't listen to the authorities. Okay, all right. I have nothing to do with you anymore. Isolation, by the way, brothers and sisters, can itself be a punishment. Because when you begin to ignore a person, then the person realizes, oh, something is wrong. Gradually, the person might see the mistake or what I have done or why did I do this? So it is very important that we follow these steps. And why do we need to follow these steps? As I said, as Jesus is telling us, we have to win the person back to the community. Now, in this case, there is something that St. Paul makes very clear to us. And Paul understood this very well. Because as we know, we had fallen away. We had fallen short of God's will and his plans for us. We sinned against God, but God did not give up on us. As we know, God sent so many prophets. And finally, God sent Jesus himself. And so St. Paul would tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Paul makes it very, very clear. He says, God reconciled the world to himself through the death and resurrection of his son. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. So God has reconciled the world to himself through the death and resurrection of his son. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord wants to do and what the Lord wants that we must do. And therefore, this passage is very, very important in the Gospel of Matthew because it is part of the so-called community discourse in the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 18 is known as the community discourse. There are many teachings that Jesus is giving us there. And among the teaching, this comes in the almost the middle of the chapter, the passage we have today. And then Jesus also tells us, once you bring the brother back, you have succeeded. Very good. If the brother is not coming back or brother or sister is not listening to you, okay, leave him, leave her to be like a Gentile or a tax collector in the sense, don't associate with him or her. But then Jesus also adds a few other things in this teaching. He says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You might recall these are the same words Jesus had used earlier in chapter 16 of Matthew. When Matthew confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus giving the authority to Peter and saying, you know, receive the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven and all that. So here, why Jesus is telling us that we should try to bring the brother back, because when we are in unity here on earth, when here we are unified, when we have one purpose of mind, when we are one in unity, one in heart and mind, then whatever we bind here will be also bound in heaven. In other words, we experience heaven already here when we are living in harmony and with peace with each other. That is the meaning of this. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when we live as a community, and this is important, and now, you know, brothers and sisters, we are all far away. We are all in our, you know, confined in our houses. And yet, today we are now, we are almost, I can see here, 194 participants, changed to 195 just now. That means so many of us are together. We are together in faith. We want to pray together. We want to stay together, which is a beautiful thing. Therefore, let us thank God that we are bound here on earth. And since we are here bound on earth, I think Jesus has promised we will also be bound in heaven. In the sense, we will be together. We will experience this peace and tranquility among us and the blessings of the Lord. And then Jesus adds the promise. When we are bound together, then he says, on earth, and you ask, if you ask anything, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So Jesus is promising us that when we pray together, our prayer will be heard and answered. Now, when I say this, probably many of us may have a question in our minds. We have been praying so much about this coronavirus, this pandemic, this lockdown, and all that. Why things are not better? I don't know. But God must be having his own plans and designs. If God has a plan, we can't overrule him. But the thing is, in my opinion, I think we still have to pray. But more than praying, I think we have to be humble before God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you might agree. Because I think we have sinned against God in the sense, I think people had become too proud, too materialistic, too self-overconfident, self-dependent. We, I think, probably forgot about the fact that God is alive, God is there. So most likely, God is simply telling us, now know that I am here. So I think we have to still understand and bow before the Lord humbly. And God will do what he has to do. He will do. I believe in this. And therefore, Jesus is telling us here, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you. So we are more than two or three. Definitely, when the whole world is praying, God will listen. Definitely, he will do what is necessary for us. This pandemic, like many other calamities in the world, will go one day or the other. And we will be able to come together again. That is my faith. That is what I believe in. And that is the hope I live with. I'm sharing with you what I really feel. So therefore, let us not lose hope. And our very coming together like this is itself a sign of great hope. So I'd like to thank once again all of you, especially our Jesus the Real Vine ministry and all the organizers of this prayer meeting every Wednesday without fail. And surely we will see a positive result one day, because Jesus has also promised us, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is one of the greatest promises Jesus has made. And definitely the Lord is with us. Let us therefore thank the Lord and give him the glory. One last point I would like to make with regard to our reflection today and Jesus' teaching. Why is Jesus telling us to reconcile with the person? It is correction that we are looking at, not condemnation. Because, as you might have heard, we learn from others' mistakes. We learn from others' mistakes. But some of us have to be the others. Sometimes we may be the ones who are making the mistake. And therefore, I think when we apply this passage, if somebody comes to me to correct me, what should be my way of dealing with it? Should I be rebellious or should I be reconciliatory? So this is the challenge each one of us has. So when we get correction, let us not take it as something negative. Let us take the correction as something positive. Because Only through correction we can grow. Let us therefore once again thank the Lord, and I thank you all once again for listening to me, and it's almost my time up. So pray for you. Please do pray for me, and God bless you all. Thank you.